Today on Marion McPartland's Piano Jazz, we pay tribute to jazz flugelhorn player and singer Stacy Rolls, who passed away in October 2009 at age 54 from complications of injuries in a car accident. Stacy was the daughter of the late jazz pianist Jimmy Rolls. This program originally aired in 2001.
I just don't know where to start, but of course, probably talking about your old man, Jimmy Rolls, and how much of an influence he was on you, I guess.
Well, boy, I couldn't help that. That's for sure.
Oh, it's wonderful, but he probably got you started playing as a kid, didn't he?
Yeah, pretty much so. I started playing piano, and I don't know. I just decided I wanted to play something else. I moved on, and in grade school I played the, I guess they call it a marching snare, field drum.
Field drums, yeah.
And played that through elementary school, and then I found this trumpet in a paper bag in
my father's dresser.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
It was his army trumpet that his buddy Chuck Peterson taught him how to play the trumpet in the army so that he could be in the band.
Oh, my goodness.
So he had a little bit of knowledge of how to make an embouchure and how to play the chromatic scale and all of that. So I took the trumpet to him, and I said, "Dad, what's this?" And he said, "It's a trumpet." And I said, "Could you play it?" And he says, "Yeah." I said, "I want to learn how to play it." So he taught me the chromatic scale, and next thing I know, I was up in the attic honking and bleeding and blatting and making all kinds of horrible noises. I'm surprised they didn't throw me out of the house. But I really loved the trumpet, and I just... Then I heard Freddie Hubbard play the flugelhorn, and that was the end of it for me.
So that's when you had to have the flugelhorn.
That's when I wrote the note, yeah.
Oh,
the famous note.
What note? Tell me about the note.
Well, I wanted a flugelhorn, so I wrote my father a note and said, "Dear Dad, if you buy me a flugelhorn, I'll play the hell out of it."
And you have it.
Only the word hell was another word, but I can't repeat it on the air. And Dad thought that was great and took me down to Zepp's Music Center, and I bought me a flugelhorn. So
that's the story of that.
That's the story. There you have it.
Well, I think you should play on it.
Well, okay.
I think that would be a good idea.
I think we can do that.
What should we do?
Let's do There Is No Greater Love.
Oh, that's a nice tune. And you know, we're very fortunate to have a wonderful bass player here with us today.
Absolutely.
Tom Warrington on bass.
Yay, Tom.
Yay. And that's going to make it real nice.
Absolutely.
So let's do it.
Okay.
There Is No Greater Love.
We did. That was the last time I saw you.
Was it the Women's Jazz Festival?
No. Oh, God. I think that was even before that. But I'm thinking of the cruise that you did. Remember the cruise ship
that stopped
in San Francisco with Dizzy on it and everybody?
Oh, sure. I think Jimmy was on that one, too.
Yeah, because I think so.
I remember Dizzy lecturing him and telling him he should practice more and lose weight and all kinds of things.
Oh, God.
Oh, that was a long time ago.
Oh, that was a long time ago.
Well, are you going to sing?
Yeah, I'd love to. This is a beautiful tune by Ray Noble. I believe the correct title of it is Stars Come Out at Night.
I don't know that tune, but I guess I will in a minute.
Oh, this is one of those out-of-the-hat magic tricks that Dad pulls, you know.
Like, I was going to say, this must be one that he...
Because he
was so good at finding these esoteric tunes that nobody else plays.
Yeah, Yeah, this is a really nice one. I really enjoy doing this one.
Well, good. So let's have a go at it.
Okay. One, two, three. Why stars come out at night? It's curious the way they do. The answer is simply this: they love to look at you. Well, do you know why owls come out at night and ask each other who?
I'm just wondering where in your career you learned that tune. Was it a long time ago? Or?
Yeah, actually. Well, it was one of the first tunes that my dad wrote out for me. Not necessarily for me to sing, though. He was singing them. At that point, I hadn't started singing yet. I've only been singing since maybe, I don't know, 8 years or so, I guess. I sang when I was little, but I had a terrible traumatic experience in front of a huge auditorium full of people, and I forgot the words to a solo. I walked out and stood on the apron of the stage and completely blanked on the words.
Oh, God.
And it was the longest 2 minutes of my entire life, I think. People started laughing, and I couldn't remember them, and oh my God, it was just ridiculous.
And how old were you then?
I was in grade school, you know, like 10, 9, something like that.
Oh, that's a terrible age to have something like that happen.
Oh, I swore
it?
I would never sing again, never. And I didn't sing for years and years until Dad and I went in the studio to do Looking Back. That was the first thing that I'd ever tried to sing.
Was that the like the first record that you made together?
No, the first record we made together was the one on Concord that Leonard Feather actually instigated. That was called Tell It Like It Is.
Yeah.
That was the very first one that we did.
Well, I'm glad Leonard got on the ball. And
I am, too. That was just... I liked the record a lot, but it really kicked Dad and I off, you know, as far as... I would say 15 good years of working with him.
Really? That long?
I was, you know. Well, it was great. I mean, it was a good long time that we had together playing.
Well, you must have got a tremendous lot of insight and actual sort of learning without knowing you were learning.
Absolutely.
Stuff from working with him.
Osmosis, I think.
Osmosis, that's the word I was...
We had such a communication, an unspoken communication happening. You know, we would do things at the same time and look at each other and grin. You know, and just it was great. It was the best 15 years of my life.
Now that you're really doing your own things and you pick your own tunes, how do you pick them?
Well, Dad wrote me a beautiful book, maybe about 300 tunes or so of his tunes that he liked, you know. And then he has a three or four file cabinet drawer, you know, full of sheet music, just absolutely full, that I haven't even had time to go through yet. So
you don't really have to. You can just go to one of these different sources and say, well, what do I feel like playing?
Pretty much.
Pull out a draw and then, so.
When I first started going through the music, I would find envelopes, manila envelopes with like little notes on the front, you know, Stacy, check these out, pop or something, you know, like that. And he'll have stuck a whole bunch of tunes in there that he had some idea about doing, you know, and whenever I get the chance to play with somebody or, you know, just to go get together and play, I try to take some music over there and say, play this. I've never heard this before. You know, let's go through this tune and see if I can, you know, keep learning that way.
And that's how you learn You've learned tunes.
Yeah, I try to, yeah.
Gee, I wish I had a sauce like that. I mean, boy. Well, what should we play next? Is this something out of the drawer?
Well, yeah, this is, in fact, this is one of my favorite Lee Morgan tunes. Dad took me to hear Lee Morgan down at the Lighthouse when it was in its heyday, and I really loved his playing tremendously.
Oh, me too.
So he wrote this next tune. This is called Ciora.
Oh, I love that tune. It's a great tune.
It's a great tune.
All right.
Hope
let's have
it.
At it.
Okay.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.npr.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, the Joseph Drown Foundation, the Baldwin Piano Company, Borders Books and Music, and NPR.